NFL Films is more than a production company. It's an institution. The life's work of Steve Sable, a football player turned artist who transformed American television for half a century.
If someone were to ask me, how would I define our job at NFL Films, I'd say it is to bring a new understanding to something that's already been seen, to give a creative treatment to reality.
In 1962, Ed Sable won the rights to film the league's championship game, and NFL Films was born. In a sense, so was Steve, who was there that freezing day at Yankee Stadium working as a cameraman. For the next 50 years, he never stopped working for the NFL. Few men in the league have ever had a longer run. None has ever had a better one. He was the game's first quintuple threat, an Emmy-winning auteur who won statuettes for cinematography, editing, writing, directing, and producing. The only man ever to be so honored. But it wasn't hardware that Steve loved. It was the game, and he saw it as no one ever had. Through the eyes of an artist, with an unerring eye for detail and a pitch-perfect ear, Steve quickly transformed NFL Films from simple chroniclers of the game to epic myth-makers, and he did it, as all great artists do, by taking chances. Super slow motion. Wireless mics on players.
Blue 58, 37.
Reverse angle replays, Follies films, and custom composed musical scores. All that standard stuff today, but before NFL Films, it was unheard of. But then, Steve never thought like a sports filmmaker. He thought like a Hollywood storyteller. Big, bold, honest, and funny. Those were the hallmarks of Steve's work, and Steve himself.
I got a call from my father, and I always remember this phone call. He said, you know, I can see by your grades that all you've been doing out there is playing football and going to the movies. But that makes you uniquely qualified for this profession.
Not only was Steve a football player, as an all-Rocky Mountain Conference running back at Colorado College, he played against the likes of Bill Parcells, but he was also an artist in the more traditional sense. He majored in art history, and his creativity lives on in the halls and walls of NFL Films, which are adorned with collage art personally crafted by Steve himself. Across 50 years and tens of thousands of programs, there was one constant at NFL Films: Steve Sable. He was one of that now rare breed of executive who not only had done every job in the company at one time or another, but could still do any of them better than most.
And then there's one or two times where I want to have the music just drown him out completely.
More than the company's head, he was its heartbeat. Last summer, Steve presented his father for induction into Pro Football's Hall of Fame. Big Ed reminded the crowd that his motto was, "Tell me a story, and it'll live forever." Like any good son, Steve always listened to his father, then worked until he became the greatest storyteller the NFL has ever known.
Perhaps the biggest influence in sports filmmaking is right here, television.
But he also listened to his heart, and by turning to the game he loved, he also embraced a piece of wisdom he learned while studying art at college. Art is love's accomplice. Take love away, and there is no art. Steve Sable knew that better than anyone.
It is indeed with a heavy heart that we come to you this week on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. Earlier this week, pioneer Steve Sable passed away. Steve had impact on the entire National Football League, all 32 teams, but his influence was especially so with the Kansas City Chiefs. Our Vice President of Media and Marketing, Rob Alberino, had his first times in the NFL with Steve over 20 years ago. Rob's influence and excellence, impacted by Steve so many years ago, is now felt every day at One Arrowhead Drive and throughout the Chiefs Kingdom with what you see and hear on KCChiefs.com and in shows like this one, Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. One of Steve's favorite pieces of all time was miking up Hank Stram in Super Bowl IV. It was the first coach to be miked in Super Bowl history. It now, of course, is the stuff of legend. It is ironic that this week, Kansas City goes back to that locale, New Orleans, Louisiana, to take on the New Orleans Saints, where the Chiefs and Steve Sable had some of their greatest moments.
game at a time. All day. Come on, baby. We gotta get in there.
Chiefs find themselves in a tough spot at 0-2 after 2 weeks of the season, and now they play the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are also in a difficult spot. They've had a rough offseason, and they, too, are 0-2. How do the Chiefs plan to get into the win column? We'll find out when we go to Romeo Crennel's office and have an exclusive one-on-one chat with the head coach. Later in the show, we'll also have a tribute to local public servants as our wide receivers of the Chiefs headed to a local firehouse and spent some time with the brave men and women that protect us each and every day. And one of those wide receivers is also a Chiefs special teams captain, Terrence Copper, who had his last touchdown catch as a member of the New Orleans Saints. Let's go Under the Helmet with Terrence Copper, presented by Sprint.
Hey, I'm Terrence Copper, and this is Under the Helmet. My philosophy for dealing with wins and losses is never get too high. The game is never as good as you think it is after the game is over with, and it's never as bad as you think it is. You know, so the best thing to do is just stay at an even keel. You know, you don't want to get too high, you don't want to get too low until you watch the film. When you go and watch the film, you know, then you can see, okay, how did we really do? Because you can do bad even in a win. And in a loss, you can do good as well, you know, so you just got to stay even keel. Being 0-2 and also playing a team that's 0-2, sometimes the records can be misleading, especially when you're playing a team like the Saints. Yeah, they're 0-2, but that's what their records say. That's not how good that team is, you know, and also with us, I feel the same way. Our record may say 0-2, but that's not always the case of how good or bad our team is. Each week is a different task. Each week, you got to go out there and play your hardest each week because you just never know. That 0-2 team could wind up getting the upper hand on you if you take them lightly. You know, so that's something that we just got to go in there and play hard and work together as a team and hopefully come out victorious. The importance of special teams is, I really think, is underrated sometimes. You know, special teams to me is the start of each game. You know, the guys on kickoff or kickoff return is really the starters. You know, because if we're on kickoff, we're going to determine where that ball starts at for the defense. And if we don't kick off return, we are determining where that ball starts at for the offense to get the offense a spark. You can be losing the game, and if you get a big return, that'll just turn everything around. Momentum turns it around. It's definitely an exciting phase of the game, and it's definitely very useful for offense and defense.
Chiefs fans are a lot different than any other NFL fans, in my opinion. You know, that when you come to a game at Arrowhead, it truly is almost that college-like atmosphere where the fans are into it. You know, they really care about their football. It's not just a, hey, we're going to go out and enjoy a game. I mean, they are into it. They're behind you. And they are definitely a big home field advantage for us.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Sprint, the official wireless service sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs, Truman Medical Centers, and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community. And by Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Don't change the channel, because when we return, we'll connect with head coach Romeo Crennel in his office. And later, the wide receiver core of the Chiefs trades uniforms and smiles with some local heroes.
I really love the Sports Lab. It's really fun.
I burned a lot of energy in a fun way.
Have you heard of the Chiefs Sports Lab powered by Blue KC? It's an interactive environment where kids can learn the essentials of healthy living while having fun. Located inside Arrowhead Stadium, the Sports Lab is a perfect location for field trips in groups of 20 or more. With each visit, your group will receive a behind-the-scenes tour of Arrowhead Stadium. Schedule your visit to the Sports Lab today. Go to goarrowhead.com and click on tours.
This week does pose serious challenges for the Kansas City Chiefs. They take on one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in Drew Brees and New Orleans Saints. Our KCChiefs.com reporter Rachel Sanchi takes a closer look at the matchup on this week's Focus Point.
Heading into week 3 of the season, the Chiefs are stunned.
They're reeling from back-to-back losses and are searching for answers as they face a three-game stretch that looks to test them even more than they've been tested thus far. How did they get into this position? Why do they find themselves already battling to fight their way back into the division race? These questions are one that aren't easily answered, and the Chiefs themselves might be the most perplexed. Coming into the 2012 season, the Chiefs roster was stacked with incredible talent. They enjoyed a very quiet but productive free agent signing period that brought in solid playmakers to bolster a potent offense. At tight end, having Kevin Boss complement Tony Moiaki, who was returning from an ACL injury, was a perfect fit. Also returning from injury, a rejuvenated Jamaal Charles was paired up with Peyton Hills' bruising style, aspiring to give the run game a 1-2 punch it had not seen since the 2010 season when it ranked amongst the very best. Eric Winston's gritty attitude was added to an offensive line that was founded in order to give Matt Cassel the opportunity to throw to the three Bs, Baldwin, Bowe, and Breston, an impressive core of receivers, especially when you throw the versatility of Dexter McCluster into that mix. But in two games, Cassel has struggled and the receivers have been outplayed. On defense, Derek Johnson and Tom Bahali, the Chiefs' two Pro Bowl linebackers, have anchored a defense built around players that are instinctive and team-oriented. When you look at the secondary and see names like Flowers, Barry, and Lewis, you can't help but think that opponents will have trouble going down the field on this group. While up front, the same problems are posed for the opposition's run game. However, the defense has not fared much better than the offense. Last week in Buffalo, when it rained, it poured points for the Bills. But that's just it. So far in 2012, the season is a surprise and has posed many questions. Who would have thought that the 0-2 Saints would be facing the 0-2 Chiefs? Who would have thought that in the same week that Eli Manning threw for 500-plus yards and almost lost, that Tom Brady would lose at Gillette to Kevin Cobb, who was playing backup for the 2-0 Cardinals? Certainly not me, and certainly not most Chiefs fans. So it goes that the Chiefs must find answers to an already puzzling 2012. And they must do so quickly. There are no excuses. No woulda, coulda, shouldas. The Chiefs must buckle down and stop the trend. They must find a way to play as they did only 1 year earlier as they lost their first three games and rallied to lead the division only 4 weeks later. On any given Sunday, we can be surprised. We're certainly surprised at this point in the season. And disappointed. The surprises will need to stop in New Orleans. The Chiefs will need to uncover answers this week. If not, they'll find themselves with another loss and an even tougher set of questions moving forward.
Every week, it's your ticket to the office of head coach Romeo Crennel. Is once again, Kansas City trying to get into the win column this week. And Romeo, I have to ask you, trying to fight back. It's much like last week. New Orleans needs to win. Chiefs need to win. How do you get it done this week?
Well, we've been talking to the players about trying to get better, eliminate some of the bad plays that we've been having the last 2 weeks. And if we can focus on that, not giving up big plays defensively, not turning the ball over offensively, and not giving up returns on special teams, then I think that we're going to be more competitive and we can be in the game and give ourselves a chance to win.
I want to ask you on the defensive end specifically in 2 weeks, just one sack. We talked about it before earlier in the week. And then no turnovers forced. Where do you start this week to fix it specifically on the defensive end?
Well, I think having Tomba back is definitely will help. Last week was the first game for him, and I think his timing will come back better now. And then also mix some pressures in from time to time. And a lot of times when you're able to mix pressures in, you can get a turnover or something like that. As a result of it.
Drew Brees, one of the best quarterbacks. In fact, he set an all-time NFL record last year for passing. What about him? Because he seems like a Ryan type where the ball comes out fast or he doesn't take a lot of sacks.
Well, the ball does come out really quickly. He has great control and understanding of the defense. And he knows where his open receiver is and he gets the ball to that guy pretty quickly. And then when he doesn't do that, he can move in the pocket. He avoids some sacks in the pocket. He's got an uncanny sense of knowing when the rusher is near and he can duck under him, he can duck away from him. So he presents a challenge.
Don't go away because after the break, hey, find a Dalmatian. It's off to the local firehouse with the Chiefs wide receivers and a lot of love for those people who protect us.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
It's the Find a Way to Win week this week for the Kansas City Chiefs. But in New Orleans, they're honestly saying the same thing, as both teams are 0-2. And yet both communities also have something else in common. That is, they've had to deal with disasters. It wasn't that long ago that New Orleans had to deal with Hurricane Katrina, which affected not only the Crescent City, but also the region and the entire Saints Nation. In a like manner, Kansas City had to deal with the disaster of the tornado in Joplin, Missouri, and also Redding, Kansas, where the Chiefs' kingdom came together to help those in need. It also reminds us of the anniversary of 9/11. On September the 11th of this year, the Kansas City Chiefs wide receivers visited a local firehouse to show the bravery of the men and women who protect us every day.
So today's the 11th anniversary of 9/11, and what the Chiefs wanted to do is come out and really thank some of our local first responders. So we contacted the Central Jackson County Fire Prevention District and told them we wanted to set up a surprise. We had our wide receivers come out with Casey Wolf and the cheerleaders, and really it was an opportunity for us to say thanks.
11 years after, we're still thinking about it, and we want to make sure people don't forget it. And some of the players and part of the organization can come out and to show them that the Chiefs organization is really part of the supportive community that we have.
On behalf of the Chiefs, we just want to say thank you to you guys, the first responders here representing our community and protecting our community. 9/11 marks a very historic day in our country's history and something that we'll always remember. It's also a day not to just remember those that we lost, but also to remember what you guys do on an everyday basis, and that's responding first in our own communities. Thank you guys so much on behalf of everyone with the Chiefs for what you do. We want to make sure that you know that everything that you do is special to us.
We exchanged hats, we had special commemorative coins, we had some of our guys try on their equipment, vice versa, and before we left, they even got to ride up in the ladder and really kind of really experience what they're doing. I think everybody thinks NFL players are gladiators on game days, but these guys are 24 on, 48 off, they're always on call, and they're always here protecting us, so it was just our opportunity to say, thanks for everything you do, we appreciate you.
Are y'all ready?
You got this? All right.
On game day, it takes me about maybe 2 to 3 minutes just to put my stuff on. But here, as you can see, this thing is swallowing me. It's very hot, and it takes a lot to put this on. So knowing that they have to respond fast and get dressed fast to save a life, man, it's amazing.
What are you scared of being up this high?
Oh, my goodness.
A 260-pound linebacker, what's your biggest fear right now?
This right here. Like, I'm scared right now. Like, I can see my house. Oh, man.
To really come down to a grassroots level and interact with a bunch of firefighters, you know, for a couple of hours is pretty cool. And it shows that the community and the Chiefs are really all kind of one.
That's awesome you guys came out.
Thank you guys, that's really cool.
We wanted to show up on this special day and show the firefighters that we really appreciate what they do, the hard work that they do, and you know, it doesn't go unnoticed.
This game ball is presented to an individual player or a team after they've done something exceptional on the football field Sunday night. So that's the only way you can get these game balls. But we realize that being a firefighter, you gotta be exceptional every day you come to work. So on behalf of the Kansas City Chiefs, we present y'all with this game ball.
Thank you very much.
Trust me, we hear you. Just keep yelling. You know, no matter what the score is, keep yelling. We hear you. Just that loud, that roar, it amps us up. You through the TV, we hear you too. You see it, when the offense can't get the cadence and they can't snap the ball. I mean, it just amps us up to make an interception or make a big hit on the field. Together is powerful. I mean, we're changing the game.
Thanks for joining us on this week's show. If you missed any part of it, you can find it all on kcchiefs.com. Next week, it's time to come back to Arrowhead and play division football. The San Diego Chargers come here to take on the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll get you ready right here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. Chiefs Insider has been brought to you by Sprint, the official wireless service sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs, Truman Medical Centers, and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community. And by Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle.